Oh, this morning, good. We're going to continue looking at these gifts of grace. Oh, just on the hope thing, do start putting this in your head. The two dates that are absolutely crucial at this point in time is the 2nd of June and the 4th of June. What was it?
The 2nd of June.
And the
4th of June.
And the 2nd of June because we gather together to pray over at St. Andrew's. I know that was in the video, but I'm just trying to make sure we get this in our head because it's quite a lot of information over at St. Andrew's with other churches. So that's going to be like a prayer celebration event. So put that in your diaries in the evening. All the details are on those cards and so forth. And then the 4th of June is when Roy Crown is going to be here Sunday evening. So make sure that's in your diary as well. Roy is a really inspirational speaker. Speaks of Spring Harvest, has done for years and years, and other big events like that. So come along and enjoy. We're really blessed, actually, to have Roy Crown come in. He said he would go to whatever church or location rang him first on that date. And Eastleigh were the first. Email went in the following day he made that decision. So I think it's fantastic to have Roy. So make sure that's in your diary. Don't miss out on that occasion. Okay, so we're going to continue our Gifts of Grace series looking tonight. It was going to be apostleship, but I've put that back a little bit because I thought it'd be good for us to do administration. I thought it'd be good to do administration tonight for a number of reasons. But the first reason is actually we've just elected deacons. And actually, to some extent, and you'll see this in a moment or two, to some extent that fits in to the kind of role of the deacon, certainly the first deacons. Administration, but also we've just appointed, of course, Emma as our operations manager, overseeing the administration of the church and recognising that administration is absolutely key within the life of church, in mission and ministry and so forth. So this is an absolutely key gift. So I thought we'd hit this one in this moment while we're thinking about it and hopefully valuing it. Now you may be sitting there thinking, oh, I can drop off now, because I'm not an administrator. And looking around the church, there are a number of people that would fall into that category, I know. And I work with most of them. Not all, but with a number of them. And I include myself into this category, that we may think we're not great administrators, and we're very grateful for those that are, but this sermon's not for us. That's the danger. We may think that, mightn't we? We might think I can kind of shut down a little bit, just doze off, meditate on my eyelids, and forget everything that's just about to be said. You'd be mistaken to do that. Because, as in all the gifts, it's not about us. It's about the body of Christ. It's about him. And it's actually the connection of all these gifts that's absolutely crucial, isn't it? It's the coming together of the body of Christ that makes us live. So we may not have the gift of administration, but to be taught about it and to appreciate it and to value it as a gift of the Spirit, a charismatic gift, falls within the charismatic gift, the charismata, to recognise it that and to appreciate it is absolutely essential, particularly if you're not administrative. It's really important that you really, really value this gift because you ain't going to go anywhere without it with someone walking alongside you who has that gift. So I wanted to say those things at the front. And as a word of introduction, because I do know that these sermons are fairly spread out, so and different... I was going to call you clientele. Different members of the congregation hear different talks. I just want to do a little bit of a summary, four-point summary, if I may. Sorry, no PowerPoint today because I wasn't organised enough. Well, that's what Pete said. That's what Steve said. It's not true. I didn't have time, actually, to put a PowerPoint. But you don't need a PowerPoint. You can work with this, I'm sure. First thing I wanted to remind you that all these gifts are gifts of the Spirit. They are all gifts of the Spirit. Why do I emphasize that? They do not belong to us. They are his gifts. They belong to him. So whether we are these things, whether we recognize these things in our lives, they are not for us to hold. They are given to us by the Spirit, and they belong to him. And if he's given them to us, he may well take them away from us. Actually, I think there are moments and seasons when Jesus does give us gifts and then say, well, you don't need that gift anymore, so I'm going to give that to someone else. So these are his gifts, and we must hold that. They also are given so that they might be given. What do I mean by that? This is not like a Christmas present or a birthday present that is given to you and that's yours forever and a day. These are gifts that are given so that you might give them. They're charismatic gifts in the sense that they must be given. They become nothing unless they're given on to someone else. They're something to be used, invested, and to be passed on to other people. All these gifts are a gift of grace, point three in my introduction. God's grace must be seen in all his body. None of us deserve them, do we? You know, whether we have the gift of preaching, or the gift of administration, or the gift of evangelism, they're all grace. We don't deserve them. We never earned them. None of us earned them. They're gifts of grace. That's why they're called the charismatic gifts. Charis is grace. Grace gifts. And fourth point, I've already said this, they belong together. You know, they don't sit in isolation. You know, we don't have the evangelists over there doing their thing, and the administrators over there doing their thing, and the teachers and the pastors doing their thing. No, it's when you put them all together that the body works. You know, you don't have a bunch of eyes. That doesn't make much, does it? Well, just a lot of eyes, a pile of eyes. It's useless. You don't have a bunch of feet over there, do you? You put it together so the body works together. And so these gifts need to be put together. So I just wanted to remind you of those things. Some of you have heard me say those things. I apologize if I'm being repetitive, but others perhaps just need to be reminded of that, the context of which we're looking at these gifts. This I should have put on the PowerPoint, actually. This word administration actually comes up in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. So if you wonder where it comes up in that. And actually, the different translations translate it in different ways. And it's kubernesis. That's the Greek word. And it's one of these words that only comes up once in Scripture, which is very inconvenient, because it is difficult to work out what does it actually mean, kubernesis. What does it actually mean? And it's been translated in all kinds of different ways, from guidance to organizing to administration to leadership. All these different things can be actually put to this word. It means, it's used quite often to guide a ship, actually, to administer the running of an organization, to be an official that sits over over things, to make sure things are functioning well. And I wanted to say that because this is more than just a supportive role. This gift has an element of leadership, a significant element of leadership in it. We haven't had a reading yet, so let's have a reading, shall we? Turn to Acts 6, if you will. And I'm just going to read a little bit from Acts 6 for you, from the choosing of the seven, because as I was preparing this, this chapter particularly came to mind. This is the setting apart of the first deacons, or the first diaconate, if you want. And this sits really quite well within the context of this gift of administration. Let me read from verse 1. I'm going to read through to verse 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews amongst them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I'm going to hang the rest of what I say on this passage, but also refer to one or two other examples as well as we go through. And the first thing I wanted to say, and I've already said this, but I want to apply it to this gift, is that this gift of administration, if we want to call it, kubernesis, this gift is a gift of the Spirit. is a gift of the Spirit. We find that in verse 3, the first part of verse 3. It says that these men were recognized to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Why do I want to emphasize it with this gift? Well, I think out of all the gifts, this gift potentially, I think the other gift that I did not that long ago on giving this might fall into this category as well, potentially could be just seen as natural ability. It's the way someone's wired. It's the way they work. They're good at structures and systems, putting things in place, making lists. That's the kind of person they are. So it's very easy to not see the Spirit-filled bit of it. Do you know what I mean? You can apply it to people that are wealthy. They just happen to be wealthy. No, this is a Spirit-given gift. Yes, they're wired up. Some of us are wired up to actually be quite good in front of people, and therefore maybe God might anoint us to preach. But we still need that Spirit within us to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, or whatever it may be. And it's exactly the same for administrators. You can't be an administrator for the church and say, I don't need the Spirit in my life. That is not a spiritual gift. It must be recognized as anointing upon that person. And that's why I'm glad that when we appointed Emma, we prayed for her in the church meeting, didn't we? And we prayed for her, I think it was last Sunday, we prayed for her in the church, that this is a significant ministry of the Spirit that is given to the church. And we recognize not just the makeup of a person and who that person is, but that God has called them and anointed them and appointed them to do that role. And the other thing I wanted to emphasize, and I've already said this, but I'll say it quickly, but I want to say it again, is that this is a gift. This is a gift that is given. Now, some of us who aren't so administrative sometimes don't appreciate it as a gift. But actually it is. It is a precious, precious gift that is given to the church. It's not a personality characteristic. It is a gift of organization that we might receive. So that's the first thing. That's my first point. So if I've got a PowerPoint up there, that was the first thing. This is a gift of the Spirit. You can make up your own PowerPoint tonight. Second thing is a leadership role. This gift, Kubernesis, definitely has leadership about it. Go back to verse 3. Verse 3. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We've just covered that. And we will turn this responsibility over to them. Now, let me just say something. In this passage, it is very easy to think that the role of the first deacons was to go around the tables in Desborough Hall and serve the people at the tables. Now, that is not what the passage is saying. I think the way Luke writes it reminds us that Jesus actually took a towel, bent down, and washed his disciples' feet. I think there is recognition of that. I think there is echoes of that story here. But this is not the fullness of the task. And these people may have well served at the tables, but it was much more than that. There was quite a big task. Thousands of people became Christians during this first period of the church's life. Thousands. And many of those were widows. Many of those were poor people that needed social care and action. If you think Hope social care and Ark social care is a new thing, it's not. You know, the early church was doing this right at the beginning. They were caring for the people in crisis. And so this was a big ministry that was going on. It needed planning, it needed organization, it needed sensitivities all around, it needed systems. So these people, see, if it was just, we need a few people to serve at tables, I don't think this passage would have been written. This passage was written because this was actually a leadership role, that these men were given the leadership role to organize this and organize it really well. I reckon Caroline of Arc would have been one of these people. I meet with Caroline because she's part of the Hope Committee. She's a great, great lady, but she would have been one of these early deacons who was overseeing, planning, preparing, yes, involved to some extent, but also having an overseeing role And that is quite crucial, that we have this view in our mind that administration isn't this secretarial type in a typewriter kind of role. It is partly that, but it's much more than that. And it actually has really important leadership elements within it in terms of organisation and planning. I was mindful, as I was considering this, of Moses. Do you remember Moses back in Exodus 18? If you've got a Bible, you might want to flick to Exodus 18. Having gone across the Red Sea and having all the people gathering around, they're moving on, and Jethro, his father-in-law, comes to visit him. It's kind of a strange passage in some ways. They come to visit, family come, they spend some time together, and then they get up in the morning, and Jethro watches what Moses does. And Moses gets up and he sits and he has all the people come before him and he oversees all the issues, all the problems that were in the community at the time. And there's a great big long queue. It doesn't say this in scripture, but you get this picture. There's a great big long queue of people waiting to see Moses where he will judge what the best thing is. And Jethro goes, I'm paraphrasing here, he says, "Moses, what are you doing? Why are you doing it like that, you idiot?" Wait, didn't actually say that. That's what I would have said, but he points out as a father figure, and he's probably quite an elderly gentleman. And Moses is elderly at this point, but he's even older than Moses. He points out to him that he needs other people. It's officials is actually the word. Put officials in place, he says, that will help you oversee the needs of the people. And what they do is, I think, I forget the actual numbers, but you can see it. Oh, here we are, in verse 21. He selected men from among the people, men who feared God, wisdom, spiritual people, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and he appointed them as officials over 1,000, 100, 50, and tens. I mean, that's administration, isn't it? That's organisation. Yeah, if it was Toby and me, we would say, Yeah, you lot would do. Go and do something. Now, Jethro pins it. I reckon Jethro was an administrator, a leader through administration. He says, let's sort this out. Let's have 1,000. Let's have 100. Let's have 50. Let's have 10. Let's get this worked out so this works well. This is a big group of people. So this is a leadership role, a leadership gift to some extent. Third point, two more points. Third point is this, that this is an enabling role. If you go back to Acts 6 with me, Acts 6, what happens for the apostles, for the disciples, as this role is put in place? What we find is, what do they say? They say, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The gift of kubernesis is a gift that releases and enables other people's gifts to happen. It's not the disciples were saying, this is below us. I'm sure that's not the case. You can read that in, can't you? You could read into thinking, well, what's wrong with the disciples? Are they saying they're too high and mighty to serve at tables, to care for widows? No. That would be out of kilter with the rest of Scripture. You know, it wasn't that long ago Jesus told them, you know, I've washed your feet as I have done it to you, so you must do it to each other. So they know this. This is fresh in their heads and their minds, but they also know that they can be distracted of doing things that God actually hasn't called them to do. And so they give this bigger responsibility to other people, which then enables them to do what God has called them to do. That's how the body works, isn't it? Yeah, the nose doesn't try to get into the eye's business, does it? It doesn't kind of sit there going, oh, come on, eye, I want a bit of that. No, the eyes get on with seeing and the nose gets on with smelling. The ears get on with hearing and the mouth gets on with speaking. These are functions and these are the gifts that are enabled by the gift of administration. As I've gone through this series, we come back to that body metaphor time and time again. It's very difficult not to, because, of course, it's there in 1 Corinthians 12, where the gifts are mentioned. Many of these gifts are mentioned. And I ponder each time of what part of the body this gift might be. Not on every gift, but on this one I've been pondering. I was thinking, what is the best illustration? What part of the body? And I think administration is the skeleton. Is the skeleton of the body. And I'll come back to that again in a moment or two, but it's the skeleton in the sense that it's structural. You kind of, you imagine a body without a skeleton. It'd just be a blob, wouldn't it? Of flesh and blood and muscle and sinew. It wouldn't do anything. But with a skeleton, there's that solid structure that holds up the body, and then all the functions of the body can actually begin to work. And administration, I believe, is one of those gifts that enables things to happen, other gifts to take place. It empowers others' gifts. It gives strength. The skeleton gives strength, doesn't it, to the body. And that's exactly what administration does. You know, when good administration is put in place, so all the other gifts become stronger. And the other thing it does is it connects all the... So this is what a skeleton does, is it connects all the gifts. I suppose you could say the nervous system does that as well. But, you know, there's a connection from one hand to the other hand, from one hand to the toe or whatever it may be. There's a connection. And administration actually is one of those beautiful gifts that actually connects. One of the great things, I've met Emma already a couple of times in a different way now with our operations manager role. She came to meet with me and we talked about all the expectations. And as I left that meeting, it was like I just went, whew, oh, that's great. Because suddenly I knew there was someone connecting all things together, saying, Joth, that's going on there, but how does that affect that over there? And how does it affect this over here? And beginning to put all those things together. And that's what administration does. It connects things together. It enables the body to start working together. And then what happens? We're enabled, we're strengthened, we're connected together, we come to a place of effectiveness. I'm wondering, actually, whether I should have preached this sermon before we voted on the appointment of the operations manager and the whole system. We may have done some good, perhaps, I don't know. But we got there in the end, and praise God for that. But it makes us more effective because of that structure that is put in place. That you see that in verse 7. What happens? As they put these administrators in place to serve the widows, so, verse 7, so the word of God spread. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Well, here's an evangelistic strategy. I've never heard a book that says, if you want your church to grow, put in more administrators. But it worked. Here, God recognized that the weakness of the body at this point in time of the church's life was it didn't have the administration in place. So we put the administration in place, and the disciples, the apostles, go and preach the word. Prayer and preaching the word. And the church doesn't just grow, trickle growth. It explodes. It increases rapidly. There is effectiveness in this gift that is offered to the church. And a large number of people, priests, become obedient to the faith. I'm not quite sure the connection of that, but maybe one day when I sit down with Luke, I'll find out what all that is about. I'm a sad person, aren't I? Last point that I wanted to make about this gift. So that was all about this gift is an enabling role. Last point, last PowerPoint slide coming up now. But this role, just like the skeleton in the body, is very much a hidden role. Very much a hidden role. And that's how God designed it to be. And there's some things that we need to consider very carefully about that. The role of administration is rarely one that is noticed or even praised. Now, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me, please encourage Emma, administrators, Chris Harvey, those who are involved with this kind of role, please encourage them, often pray for them. But it is a role that is often unseen and actually designed that way. Just as you don't, if you see a bone, you know there's something wrong, don't you? If there's a bone sticking out, there's something wrong with the body. That's not right. The bones are hidden. They're not to be seen. They're there for structure, for for strength, for connection. They're not there to say, look at me, aren't I wonderful? Aren't I the most important thing? No, they're actually there to serve the rest of the body that is seen. They're the hidden part of the body. Please don't misunderstand it. Please encourage people. And if you're an administrator, don't feel, I'm not. I think this is a really important point, because in our day and age where image is so important, it's, you know, are people noticing me? It's so important to so many people. If you pray for the gift of administration, the truth is that probably you'll be hidden away, getting on with a key role. God will see it. The only moment you see it is when you do it wrong. You know, people see administration when it goes wrong, not when it's going right. When administration goes right, everything's smooth, everything's good, everything's fine. Why would we see it? Unless we stop and think, actually, there's a good skeleton in that body. Something good is going on there. And I'm not saying we shouldn't acknowledge it from time to time. I think we should, certainly within church. But what I am saying is that this gift requires, every gift requires this, but this gift particularly requires humility. Humility. The Spirit of God would fill people with this gift means that you serve humbly, often in the background, often unseen, being very effective, allowing the church to grow, allowing people to become Christians. No one says, you know, when someone becomes a Christian, there's often a question, who brought them to faith? Who brought them to faith? Who was the key person? No one says, do you know, actually administration brought that person to faith. Do they? We don't put the administrators in the pool to baptize people. You know, they're the ministers that have journeyed alongside these people that are in the pool, and that's probably the right thing. But actually, it's that hidden gift that enables, that strengthens, that connects, that it makes the efficiency of the church actually happen. And this was a great humbling gift that was given to the church. These people were told to get on with it, to do it, and they did, and they served the church well. I hope and pray, because some people recognize it is a hidden gift, and therefore they say, I don't want that gift. Do you know when you do that little survey thing about finding your gift? You know, what gift has God given you? And you go down and you tick in boxes and words and things. Do you ever think, please, Lord, don't give me the gift of administration? I know people that actually clearly are administrators, but don't want it. Don't want it. Why? Because they won't be noticed if they're given that gift. Give me the gift of prophecy. Give me the gift of teaching. Give me the gift of being a leader. Give me a gift, all those gifts. Give me the gift of healing. Give me the gift of evangelist. I'll get noticed in all those gifts. This gift over here, perhaps not so noticed. But actually, so important. And a gift of the Spirit of God. I hope that there are some here tonight that are saying, yes, actually, that's me. God has given me that gift by His Spirit, and I want to serve in that way. I hope so. And I hope there are others that are sitting there going, do you know, actually, it's a good job God hasn't given me that gift. But actually, the next time I see the person who helps me in my administration, I'm going to tell them, actually, I value you so much because the gift that you have is so precious. Let's pray, and then we're going to prepare for communion in a moment or two. Just want to take a moment just to be still. And perhaps just in the silence, you might be thinking of people. I've named some of them, but there might be others as well. Some of you are in roles of administration. Be encouraged this day. Be encouraged. But think of some people. Just one or two names, just in the stillness. Just bring them to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless them and to encourage their hearts. Lord, we thank you for this precious gift, the gift of administration, the gift of organizing, the gift of planning, preparing. Lord, bless those that you have given this gift to. Pour your spirit into their lives. May they feel that and know that this is not just because they can do it, but because you love them, you have called them into your ministry, into your body, and they're serving you, and it is a gift given by the Spirit himself. Amen.